Collaboration is the name of the game. To be successful in today's business world, we need to collaborate in everything we do. With our peers, with our stakeholders, in our teams, within the hierarchy, and with outside organizations and strategic alliances. In the collaborative business world, no one can go it alone. You are listening to the Collaborative Business Podcast, and my name is Peter Simons. In this podcast, I'm in conversation with my guests about the skills we need to succeed in the collaborative business world and about lessons my guests learned in their business collaborations. In this episode of the Collaborative Business Podcast, I'm in conversation with John Bell, who is a professor of strategic alliances at the Tilburg University in the Netherlands. Today, we will once again look ahead into 2015. And you will hear John share why being serious about alliances and partnerships is a no-brainer with an easy return on investment. For the first time in the history of the Collaborative Business Podcast, this episode is not only available in audio, but also in video format. You are now tuned into the audio-only version, but when you're interested in the video, then tune in at petersimons.com and watch the full interview with John and me there. Now let's welcome John to the podcast. John, welcome to the Collaborative Business Podcast.
Thank you. Yes, great to be here.
Good to have you back. I think it's about a year ago that you were, for the first time, my guest in the podcast. And so new year, new time to come back to the podcast. And so thanks for being here. For those people who didn't listen last year, who is John Bell?
I think they still can listen to the podcast, can't they?
Yes, they still can listen, and I will link to it in the show notes. So.
But anyway, John Bell, I'm a professor in Tilburg University. I'm a professor of strategic alliances, focusing on, of course, cooperation and the strategic the strategy around for companies, and also try to focus much more on the competences around alliances. And next to that, I'm also working at Philips, responsible for strategy and business development in Philips Research, where alliances and open innovation are, of course, two important elements of what I'm doing.
Okay, thank you. So the theme of our conversation today is still, even though we're already in February, looking ahead a little bit. And you just sketch your background, so that's an excellent starting point to look ahead for strategic alliances in 2015. And I have basically for this conversation, well, let's rephrase that. I start basically for this conversation with one question only. So what do you think that is going to happen in 2015 when it comes to strategic alliances? And let's combine that with not only what do you think, but what do you feel that should happen? So there's two angles to look at it.
Yeah, let me start with what I think will happen. And I think I could have said something like that last year as well. So there's an immense increase, which I feel, and which is also happening when I talk to people, in the number of partnerships which are being created. And they are being created in multiple ways. So people sometimes even don't know that they are creating an alliance. Things get much more fluid, I would say, or at least almost naturally. Companies start to realize, even the hardcore companies who thought they could do it themselves realize it's not possible. And that's mainly driven by a couple of things, I would say. So everything around what is happening around what we call digitalization. So digitalization. So we see now, for instance, in the healthcare business where we are acting, you see that apps are coming into the play, that small companies, but also large companies, try to get a bigger share of the pie in healthcare. And they all realize that if you want to make a big change in society, to combat, for instance, the increasing cost of the total healthcare system, companies, small, large, and governments and other stakeholders really need to understand that they understand that they need to work together. At a time that one or two big companies could dominate almost everything, those days are over, and we are ready for complete breakthroughs in industries like healthcare, but also lighting where we are working, but also transportation. If you see what happened 1 month ago at the CES in Las Vegas, that autonomous cars were one of the big hits at the CES, at the Consumer Electronics Show. Can you imagine? The Consumer Electronics Show has autonomous cars. And also there you see all kind of companies teaming up together to make that possible. So I see enormous increase number of partnerships that are being created and that need to be created to disrupt industries and to solve in a way the bigger challenges that we all have as a society.
Interesting. So an increase in partnerships, and I am with you, obviously. I see that as well. I hope that will happen as well. But what should companies do to make those partnerships successful? Or what is there a specific step they need to take to create those partnerships?
Yeah, I think there is the other side of the same medal, that on the one hand, yes, there's a full understanding that partnerships are needed and that companies understand that they cannot do it alone anymore. And as I said in the beginning, it probably was also visible in 2014. So it's not a disruption that this Christmas, for the first time ever, they saw, wow, now we need to do it together with others. So it's already ongoing for quite some time. But what I see happening is that many companies know they have to do it, but they still struggle in making partnerships successful. And this is a big risk, because on the one hand, you see companies understanding, become large and small ones, that they need to work together. At the same time, they find it difficult to make them successful. So what could happen then, they might come to the conclusion that they should not do any alliances anymore, because they cannot make them successful. And they may even get to the point that they say, well, I think alliances are dangerous or scary or so it's and in that sense they might close themselves off of the future of the industry, which is because we don't do it on our own. So that is, I think, the potential threat that could happen to most companies. What I would like to instead propose, or at least also shed some light on, is that yes, companies, there are ways to become successful in alliances, and our systematic way is to become in alliances. There are companies who have learned the trick and build up competences to have a much higher success rate in their partnerships, and those companies will in the end, it's my prediction, will become much more successful in the future, because these companies know how to team up with others. They know how to feel comfortable in uncertainty and by being dependent on other companies, living in an ecosystem. And they have the competences built up to make sure they get the results out of their partnerships. I think if we're not careful, we're ending up in a two-way street, that either you go left and say, hey, I don't believe alliances anymore because it's so difficult to make them successful. By the way, I still am. Or you go right and say, hey, I have some competences, and now I know, yes, it's difficult, but I know how to do this, and I have much higher than average success rates in my partnerships, and therefore I like to build up even more partnerships.
Okay, and I know that in your introduction you mentioned that you are working in Philips. So from that perspective, we both know Philips as a company who has extensive experience in building alliances. You have a central department that is taking care of building alliances in a successful way. But there are companies that are not there yet. They might see at the moment that they need to build those capabilities and to build those skills. Now, I can imagine for a company of the size of Philips, it might be easier than for a mid-sized company, not even to talk about small companies. How do you see that come into play? So how would companies, should companies need to do to make already successful step in 2015 with alliances?
Yeah, I think that's a very good question. And sometimes people come to me and say, yeah, that's easier if Philips, you have built up a team of a few people or four people. So I cannot do that. I cannot afford it as a small, medium-sized company. And I tend to disagree because as a large company also, freeing up four or five people doesn't sound like a big investment, but it must be done, and to make partnerships in such a big company very successful across the globe is certainly not an easy task for a team of just four or five people. So in that sense, it's much easier, I would say, for a small medium-sized company to free up one person or half a person and to make sure at least one person gets a sufficient understanding and build up some competences around what does it take to be successful in alliance. And every time the company then starts to team up with somebody else, this person should be involved. And this person should then also be able to explain to the other, say, members of the MT or other members of the company what the best way is to set up the alliance, and that people start to listen to this person. I think this is a minor investment which pays off immediately, because every successful alliance, if you make one partnership 10% more successful, that's probably already millions of dollars or euros additional revenue or profit even for a company. And the investment in freeing up one person is maybe 100 to 200K. Or part-time. So it's a smart investment. So I would recommend companies, small, medium-sized enterprise, also, companies which are in between very small and very big, so medium-sized company, to start doing that and not spend too much time on that, whether they should do it yes or no. I would find the right person in the company, And make sure this person is trained, understands what partnerships are, and listen to that person.
So, and what is the right person? So, what are the characteristics of such a right person?
Yeah, you cannot see that from a distance. So you cannot see it from a distance. When you come to the company, you cannot say, "Hey, this person looks much better an alliance person." So it's much more the skills of people and the characteristics. So it should be people who are willing to take some risk, people able to listen, people who have ability to network, people who are not just looking at their own interests. So also willing to present and also defend, if needed, the interest of the partner. And it should certainly be somebody in the company who has high esteem. So it should be somebody who is well recognized and well appreciated in the company. If you choose somebody who is not seen as relevant or important, then every word which comes out of the mouth of that person is probably not well listened to, so that would be a disaster.
Okay, so you are sketching a pretty critical position there. And knowing from years ago, alliances in the IT business were often seen as, well, this guy is not successful in sales, let's put him on alliances, which is the wrong approach.
Yes.
Yeah. So
if this person has not the right competence to be successful in alliances, then it's certainly the wrong approach.
Yeah. So large or small, or let's at least say large or medium-sized company, if you're serious about alliances in 2015, make part of a person, at least part of a person, available to focus on alliances and build up the skills and capabilities.
Yeah.
that sounds like indeed like a no-brainer, the way you mentioned it. So investment versus potential upside are, well, indeed a no-brainer. So investment is minimal, potential upside can be huge. But having the person is one thing. Having what are the first things that the person should do? So if the company realizes they need to partner, what is the first thing that he or she should do?
So what would be very helpful, I think, because so you say it's a no-brainer. Yes, in my view it's a no-brainer, but still it doesn't happen always. So there's still many companies who decide not to do it, or maybe not decide at all, but just don't do it. And that partially has to do with the fact that people believe they can do their alliances themselves. So they say, okay, it's so easy, I want to work with somebody else, have some nice talk and come to an agreement, and then they think that it's being done. And I think typically the start of an alliance, or at least the identification of a company, another company to team up with, is usually the most fun part, and some people like to do that and think they are very good at it. But the real hard work starts when the signature has been put under the contract, and then it's just hard work to make sure you create a solution which you agree on, or you whatever you want to do. It's really hard work. It's more than just a project. It's getting things done, and at the same time be influenced by the interest of both parties. So what the person should do first is to make sure that the full rationale and the need for the partnership is understood, and also explain to his or her colleagues what it takes to be in a partnership. So you have to give up something and you get something in return. So you cannot just behave as if you're on your own, as if you're living alone in a house and do everything what you want. Now you live with more than one person now in the house, temporarily or much longer. So you have to be willing to understand that and to behave like that. So I think that's the first start. Secondly, I think this person should also try to indicate what the benefits are by working together, and what, say, the things are which need to be done to get there. And as long as you understand, okay, the benefits are 100 and we need to do something like 50 for that, that probably will help. And then during every day almost, this person should behave like the guardian of this cooperation. And because there might be other effects coming, or other influences that say, hey, now you work with this company, but now tomorrow we need to do something else with somebody else. And I think this person should try to make clear, yes, you can work together with many companies at the same time, but then it also requires a certain broader competence, not with just one person, but much broader. So it's much more a missionary role, I would say, in the beginning.
Okay, I understand. And I recognize that. Now, when you look at your opening, you mentioned the CES and autonomous cars. That's one side of the whole industry out there that obviously needs partnerships. Do you think, looking forward, that there are certain industries that need more partnerships or have more need for partnerships than other industries? And even combined to that, looking forward, are there still industries that can do it on their own?
I don't have a full picture of all industries, but what I see happening, that especially in the world of healthcare, where typically quite some companies started to do things on their own, and you have a lot of competition where you see hospitals teaming up with one IT supplier, you have over 3,000 IT systems for hospitals, there will be a shakeout. And I expect that also hospitals cannot do things on their own anymore. Where in the past, a hospital had their own region which they were providing services to. Those times are over. Patients are coming from multiple places and can choose in the end where they go to. So hospitals also need to understand where they need to compete and where they need to work together. You see now the whole transformation about to reduce the total cost of healthcare, where you see that the whole, I would say, the primary care, including, let's say, it's a GPs, but also elderly homes and also hospitals, they need to team up together to provide not just health, but also a sort of prevention for people living in their region, and they cannot do it alone. So you see certain hospitals, for instance, teaming up with a company like Philips to develop completely new solutions. Solutions for 10, 15 years, where we work together with Karolinska, for instance, in Stockholm, where we agree to come up with new innovations, and we do this together. We define together what those innovations are, and we work in an R&D partnership next to a business partnership for the next 15 years. At the same time, you see that also individuals at Radboud University, I think, is a nice example where Philips and Radboud University are teaming up to work on a platform for COPD patients, so patients who have troubles with breathing, with their lungs, to provide, full-time diagnosis, not just when you come back to the doctor after 3 weeks and the doctor says, how did it go over the last 3 weeks? Yeah, well, okay-ish. But now we have provided, we've created an electronic plaster which is put on the body of this person, and then it gets every minute, you get continuous signals back to the doctor to see what is happening. So when the patient comes back after 3 weeks, it's completely clear for the doctor, because he or she has a full overview already for the last 3 weeks. So it's a complete breakthrough. This is where it will go to. And we cannot do it alone. I think the whole healthcare industry starts to realize they cannot do it alone. Yeah, are there industries where things are happening much more as in isolation and without partnerships? I find it difficult. I find it difficult to believe that that's still the case.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I cannot think of an industry that can still operate completely solo.
Yeah.
So, yes, I agree. So we already shared some recommendations, or you already shared some recommendations for what companies should do. Is there any other recommendation where you say, well, they at least should, in addition to what we already said, they at least should take this step to make partnerships successful?
What I see happening is that innovation these days, and you and I know, and I think many people know, that innovation is already so important for many years, but I think there's a revival of the word of innovation, because the sheer challenges we have as the world today can only be solved by intensive innovation. And innovation is something where some companies are well established, but I think also there more and more companies realize that they need to do much more around innovation, and then partnerships can help to enable innovation, which you cannot do on your own. So I think also because of the push of the needs, I would say, of much more disruptive innovation, that the prevalence of alliances and partnerships become much higher. And there, I think what I would advise companies also to look with different glasses at innovation and go much earlier into disruptive innovation with partners instead of only do the incremental stuff. But again, you should only do that once you feel you have some capability in your company to manage alliances and to make sure they can become successful. Else you might end up in a situation of interruption or disruptive innovation, but all the benefits will go to your partners who happen to know how to make it successful.
Yeah. And that's a risk that probably companies don't want to have. And if they have the fear of that risk, that probably will keep them away from external partnering.
Exactly. But then they might also become marginalized in the whole economy. And so most likely the companies which are going for the disruptive innovation are the ones that will win.
Yeah, and so there is the circle is round again, in the sense that they need to have to start building that capability in order to stay on top of the game and be among the leaders in their market.
Exactly. Yeah, I must stress that more. So if this podcast helps, Peter?
Let's hope so. We will push people to listen to it and to hear your advice there. So where can people find more about you or connect with you, John?
Yeah, so the most easy thing is via LinkedIn. So I'm at LinkedIn, John Bell, JohnBell. Wow, that sounds like marketing for myself, Peter, sorry. So I'm a professor at the University of Tilburg, working at Philips. So I think via LinkedIn it's the easiest thing to find me.
Good.
And I'm more than willing, so the people in alliances who have built up some knowledge, some experience, are typically also people willing to share with other people about what does it take to be an alliance manager or to be an alliance professional. So please reach out if you have any questions or whatever, and I'm more than willing to share my thoughts or have a sparring session or whatever.
Good. I will link to your LinkedIn profile in the show notes, so it's easy also for people to find you. Excellent. Well, thank you very much for being my guest again today, John. So far for the conversation with John Bell. Show notes can be found at petersimons.com together with the full interview video. Let me know in the comments there how you like the video format. Bye for now. Until next time.